Hey, I'm Talena.
And I'm Courtney, and you're listening to
Perspective with Zachary Perkins.
All right, guys, welcome back to Perspective. As always, I'm your host, Zachary Perkins. First of all, I would like to apologize. I know it's been a while since I've been here, since I've done this. A lot of things have been happening in life. As you guys all know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, a global pandemic.
Yes.
We're in the middle of a race war in this country. Things have been very intense. I didn't want to be insensitive and come on talking about some lighthearted shit. Yes. When all this heavy
things are going on.
Right, you know, things that really needed to be addressed.
Yeah.
And I really did try to sit down and record an episode like last month over Black Lives Matter and the mm-hmm. movement and everything. But that shit was so heavy to like
really dissect, especially as a black person who experienced it.
So, you know, I've really had to like allow myself like the space to still be happy and talk about things that like make me happy, because like that just cannot be your mentality 24/7. Like you will go fucking insane.
Especially as a black person, you really gotta like take breaks sometimes. Exactly. For this media coverage breaks, decompress. Everything, because it gets overwhelming.
It does. Before we get any further though, I want to introduce today's guest. I have one of my good friends here, one of my gal pals, Lisa Wilson. Lisa, say hello to the people.
Hey guys, it's me, your girl, Lisa, you know, L Money.
Okay, Lisa. So, listen, like I said, I've been trying to come back and find, like, you know, all the topics I want to talk about before I come back to this episode. And I had this episode recorded. I was going to put it out, like, Tuesday or Wednesday. And then Lisa, like, she asked me what I was talking about on the episode. I told her. She was like, ooh, I really would have liked to get on that and, you know, talk about this because I can relate here. And I said, no, I would not do this for anybody else. I would not go
because
back.
Because you know.
Like, you know, so because you expressed interest, I had no problem letting you get back on this and recording this episode again.
Yes, thank you.
But like I said, first of all, I just want to send my condolences to anybody who has lost a family member due to the pandemic, due to Corona.
Yes.
I really wish we had some competent government leadership.
Yeah, because it's not making any sense.
Right, like this many people did not have to die.
A lot of people are thinking it's self-interest, really.
It really is. And you see that in the way the government is moving and the things that they're choosing to reopen and how they're targeting, like, communities of color and things like that. And, you know, those are the workers who are going back and putting their lives on the front line. But I digress.
Those are always the ones to get cut first, you know?
They are.
Like, you gotta... It's a mess. It's really a mess.
It really is. But, yes, getting back into Black Lives Matter briefly, because that's not the center of the show today, but I do want to make sure that we touch on it because we haven't been here since all that, you know, went down. Firstly, so what are your thoughts on everything that has been happening?
You know, it's been really crazy to me because it's like, you know, as an African-American in America, you already kind of deal with the kind of covert racism and everything. But then it's like, once you really sit down and you're like processing everything that's happening to people and stuff, it does get very overwhelming
mm-hmm.
because you're like, you feel trapped.
Right.
Because it's like, I can't change my skin color. Mm-hmm. I'm black. I'm always going to be black. But like, I wish people would like, what am I trying to think of? It's like, it's just very overwhelming. That's the main thing, honestly. It's very overwhelming as an African-American to just go through all of this because you don't know when it could be you.
Right.
It's people, you know, it's black men who are getting hurt and injured by cops and killed by cops because, you know, the media representation of African-American male, which goes all the way back to, like, slavery time with the man Dingo and all those, you know, the aggressive black male. But then when you see people like Elijah,
mm-hmm.
who just seems like a very, you know, carefree young man, and he gets roughed up by the cops, it makes you feel like, so none of us are safe.
Right. I think for me, I feel very, like, emboldened and, like, passionate that there's so much of public outcry this time, and not just from us, like there's white people out here,
yeah,
there's people of all ethnicities and backgrounds fighting for us this time around. I thought shit would never change. Like after I in high school watched Trayvon Martin later get convicted for his own death, I thought shit would never change. I thought we'd never be here and have the, like, the moment we're having right now. So, I mean, I really hate that everything has happened how it's happened, but I think
it's part of a greater picture.
Right, it's really starting conversations that we needed to have for so many years.
You know, they say this generation, they're going to be the ones to really change the world because, right. I mean, you see a lot of them out there. I mean, they're still, to this day, still, because, I mean, the conversation doesn't end, you know, things, you know, it shouldn't be something happened to somebody, and then 2 weeks later, we go amongst our regular lives, right, because like that's how things keep going and keep happening.
I'm glad you said that, actually, because I feel like that is what's happening with Breonna Taylor, and I think because she's a black woman, and there's so many stories in the media, her name and her story are just kind of getting washed out right now, mm-hmm. and people are using her.
It's sad how black women are disrespected in America,
and people are using her death, and they're turning it into a meme, and you know, making it a joke, and people are using it as a reason to be quirky and funny on TikTok, and I just really, I hate it. It's so disrespectful.
Because people lack a lot of compassion and empathy. Yeah. You know, I was cursed with being born an empath. I truly believe that. Because I feel everything.
Right.
I can't watch news all the time. Because mm-hmm. I will sit there and cry.
Yeah.
So it's just like, a lot of people lack compassion because they don't realize it until it happens to them. Like, hey, this could be your life.
Right.
So it's very ignorant to me.
Yeah, and I want to make sure, like I said, it's great to see people
keep talking about it until things change.
Right,
because
that's what allyship is. You know, if you're gonna be an ally for the black community, it goes so much further than just posting a black square on Instagram or even posting something on your story, even going to a protest
or having just photo ops at protests because you think it'll fit your vibe, your
right.
theme,
and
your
what's going on.
Your brand.
I've had so many of my friends reach out to me and say, like, what can we do to help? What is it, you know, that we can do to amplify your voice through ours? Because we know we have this privilege and this platform.
I think what white people should do is they need to educate other white people. It's not enough for us to educate white people as black people, because what I've learned from my own experiences is that some white people really are oblivious to their own privilege.
Truly.
They don't understand, like, this is the life you're living. You're given these opportunities. These things are happening to you because you are white.
Exactly.
They're truly oblivious. But when another white person, you know, with your experience, breaks it down to you and to your level, mm-hmm. you can maybe understand it. I'm not saying we gotta coddle them.
Right.
But you have to meet somewhere in the middle in order for things to change.
I agree. I completely agree. And I think that's why, like, I've seen, like, some of the All Lives Matter people. And right. I could block them. I could tear them down. But I really have, like, reached out to some of those people to be like, this is why what you're saying is not only inaccurate, but it's offensive.
It's ignorant.
Because I've never encountered a white life that hasn't mattered. Like, that's just not the experience I've had in this country. Like, white lives are going to matter. No matter if you're poor, if you're rich, if you're disabled, whatever. Like, white lives matter.
People will see
country.
A white person and just automatically feel sympathy for them. It doesn't matter what they're going through. They'll see a black person and they'll be like, well, he did that to himself.
Right.
It's actually really, it's hard.
It is.
Because, you know, like I said, we didn't choose to be black. Now, I love being black. You know what I'm saying? We got these added things, you know, we got rhythm. Let's start there. But that's no shade. But, you know, it's those little things. And it's like, people really do be hating on us.
It's really sad.
And it's just frustrating. It really is.
But, you know, all I want to say is make sure, like we said, you're doing your research, educating yourself. You're donating to these organizations, these bail funds that really do need the funding and the support.
Yes. Donate to the bail funds. Yes.
Right.
I don't know why I thought you meant like bails that you really need. Because I was like, what? Who is that?
Yeah, make sure you guys are really, you know, continue to support the grassroots organizations who are doing the work that I'm not like able to do in my everyday life. Like, you know,
And make sure you like, they're organizations that are actually going to help black lives.
Yes.
Because there are some, you know, when times get tough, organizations, not going to say no names, Red Cross likes to step up And, you know, we know the facts are that those donations to the Red Cross don't always go to where the Red Cross say it's going to.
Okay, just ask Haiti.
Just make sure you know where your money's going, because you could very well just be putting money right back into the white man's pockets.
And that is the tea for the day.
Yes.
So that is really what I wanted to touch on with that. Another thing that happened while we were gone, before I was able to come back, the podcast celebrated its 1-year anniversary.
Oh, yes.
I just want to thank everybody for all the support, all the love, all the people who say, you know, that they're listening and they're going to send this to somebody else to listen to. Sometimes I used to look at people like, you're lying, stop playing with me. But being able to see, like, my analytics and seeing, like, we've been played here, we've been played Africa, like the UK,
it's
Germany,
really
China, Canada, Australia, like,
you're going international.
Okay, worldwide.
Worldwide without a passport.
Without a passport.
Period.
And it really fucking warms my heart. It really encourages me and inspires me to come back and keep doing this. So, you know, we're just kind of working on getting better and growing the brand and growing this platform. And I really appreciate y'all rocking with me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do a live show, like, to celebrate the 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Corona and everything, I couldn't really put that event together. But one day.
Get all your guests together. Settles,
yeah, you know, we'll have a good little kiki, good, you know, live on.
I fucks with your guests, you know what I'm saying? This is my friends too.
So we will put something together and let you guys know in the coming, whenever, like I said, when this is over. But we're going to go ahead and get into the show for today, because a lot has happened. I was telling Lisa, like, even in the time between when I recorded the episode and when we're sitting down to do it again, a lot has happened. So now
even between when we initially decided to do it together and today, so much has happened.
So there's, like, the outline that I had drafted for the episode on Sunday is a completely different outline today, because I want to get into some shit. I really do. Because
things are happening and moving in this world, child.
So the first thing that I want to talk about is Monique. For those of you who don't know, Monique is an acclaimed comedian. She's very important to our culture. She has an Oscar under her belt. She won an Oscar in 2009, I believe, for Precious. And a federal judge is now allowing her lawsuit against Netflix, like, to move forward.
Good.
They will hear it in court. For those of you guys who don't remember, she was offered $500,000 to do a comedy special.
Yeah.
And Amy Schumer was offered $11 million, and then Netflix came back after Monique's counter for more money, and they said, we don't do negotiations. And somehow Amy Schumer was able to later get another $2 million and got up to $13 million.
Which does not, I'm so sorry, but Monique has given us, I mean, the Parkers,
gems,
you know,
the queens of comedy,
the queens of comedy,
the queens of,
let's take a moment and just touch on to that. Queens of comedy. And you're telling me Amy Schumer, with her inappropriate Christmas party jokes, got $13 million, while Queen Monique.
It's really insulting. Amy Schumer got paid closer in line to, like, Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, when Monique is literally of that era. She's of that generation. She came up with them.
Exactly.
Especially Dave Chappelle. Maybe not so much Chris Rock, but yeah. Dave Chappelle and her were, like, coming up at the same time. And I just think the deal was shitty, first of all. It was $500,000, and then she couldn't work with anybody else for 3 years. So then the $500,000 is not for this 1 year. It's to be stretched over 3 years. And I just think that this white corporation was so mad that this black woman knew her worth, and she was like, absolutely not.
That's why a lot of times they tell us, this black woman, like, you gotta know what you're worth. Don't settle for less, you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that she's doing what she needs to do, because I personally, if I would have found out about this, I think I too would have wrote a letter to Netflix on behalf of Miss Monique, because how dare they, first of all.
No, it's blasphemous.
Like, she really, Monique.
And you know what? Honestly, they've been doing Monique dirty in the industry for a long time. When she did Precious, I remember she said, like, the reason she's blackballed in the industry.
From Lee Daniels,
yes, and Tyler Perry and Oprah and all those big people who should be advancing our culture, not holding us back.
They shook a job for the white man.
Yeah, so Monique did Precious for $50,000.
Child.
That was all she made for that movie.
I'm not gonna lie to y'all. My parents make more than that. And I think they're in the educational system.
So after she made her little $50,000, she fulfilled all her contractual obligations. And after that, they said, well, we want you to come to this film festival because this is how, you know, you get like in the award conversations if you're at the film festivals. And Monique was like, oh, no, beloved, I'm good. Like me and my husband and the kids are going to go on vacation. Like I'm going to spend some time with them. And they were like, you're not playing the game, like you're being difficult. And it's like, I've already done this movie. It was a passion project. Yeah. I've already done this movie for less than what I would normally charge someone because I fucked with what you were trying to do. I just fucked with your vision. And now you're trying to take advantage of me. And when I won't let you take advantage of me, now I'm difficult. And now you're going to make it difficult for me to find other work because I didn't do what you wanted me to do.
See, it's so easy for people to play. It's so easy for people to try to play that idea that, like, black women are these aggressive, you know, demanding, you know, just very overall, just you know, and it's not fair because literally all we're asking for is respect,
right?
Just like with the Black Lives Matter movement, we're not asking for you to rename things, we're not asking for murals,
and nobody's asking,
removing statues, it's all performative, everything's performative. All people want, the root of it all, is to just be respected and seen as equals.
True.
If a white woman came in with those demands,
she did. And my thing is, people were like, Monique won her Oscar so long ago. I don't give a fuck when she won it. She has an Oscar on her belt. Like,
how many other people have Oscars?
Amy Schumer doesn't.
And my thing, I think my issue is, as a white woman working with Netflix, you know, you've been given 13 and you have so many opportunities. This is when, you know, when you ask, what can I do? What more can I do to help y'all? This is when allyship comes into play. Amy Schumer or any of them white women that are getting paid by Netflix could have easily said, you know what, Monique, yes, I'm getting paid a nice amount, but I'm a rookie compared to all the stuff that Monique's done, you know?
I would have said, okay, I'm going to have to take my $13 million, your $500,000, we'll put them together, and then I'll just tell Netflix we're gonna split that down the middle.
Exactly.
Like that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about being an ally, not just posting and protesting, because that means nothing. You're not
it's
doing the work.
It's
really
all
is. It's a good look for you. So when you do projects like these, and you know that there's such a pay disparity that you're like, but that's not me because I was at a protest or I posted this or yada yada yada. You're not doing the work though. You're not showing up.
You're doing what would give you brownie points. You're doing, like, people that do stuff and expect something in return. You should do stuff out of the kindness of your heart.
Period. And I remember Netflix was saying, like, they go based off resumes and that determines the amount of things like that. And I think that year Monique had gotten, like, an Emmy nomination and she was in that Almost Christmas movie and it made, like, you've never seen it.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm shaking my head because I'm just very
disappointed. Made, like, three times its budget back, and then Amy Schumer she won an Emmy, I think, but she was in this movie.
Schumer plays herself in every single movie.
She does.
The unfunny
but
white
that's,
woman.
That's the privilege you have when you can create opportunities like that, when you can write, produce, and distribute a film by yourself, and there's no, like, filter.
Exactly.
You know, from big studios and things like that.
How many things does she have with Netflix? Because I know she has a documentary with, like, her and her husband, too.
I think she might have a few parts. She might have, like, a first look deal now.
And that's why I'm not understanding. Monique, like, really been a heavy hitter. And just to be
disrespected. I hope she takes them to the cleaners. I hope she gets everything she's asking for.
Exactly. Because I hope Monique owns Netflix.
Truly.
Let's give Monique
a
Netflix.
A stake in it.
Because,
you know, I just think it'll set such a precedent for people of color to get what they deserve.
And you know what? It'll really show, like, an example of, look, you can play the white man's game, but I'm going to stay true to myself because at the end of the day, that's going to pay off.
Period.
I'm not going to shuck at you, i.e. Tyler Perry, you know what I'm saying, i.e. Steve Harvey, i.e. Oprah, specifically Oprah.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
All y'all that blackball Monique because she...
I can't believe Whoopi Goldberg and Tyler Perry literally told her, like, you need to play this game. Like, you need to give them what they want. Like,
Tyler Perry, Mr. I created my own lane, telling another African American to play the part.
Tyler Perry is just as worse as Amy Schumer. You're cosplaying as a woman all the time. That's how you built your fortune. A black
woman at
that. But you're not helping black women. And every depiction of black women.
And then another thing about him. How do you not have anybody in your writer's studio? You could be given that opportunity to young black writers who wouldn't have that opportunity.
You know what? I'm so glad you said that, because I was sitting in my living room last night and my mom was watching The Oval, one of his shows that he has on BET. Oh my God. It was literally horrible. Like, I have never seen something that bad.
A lot of his stuff is horrible.
And you can tell he's writing it by himself. No input from
anyone. No input.
Narcissistic as fuck.
And it just really doesn't make any sense to me. Because I'm like, you're in a position. You have your own studio. You're in a position to put black people on.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Speaking of narcissistic, I'm going to move right on to Mr. Kanye West. So first, there's a couple parts to this. It's a very layered thing. So Kanye first made headlines because he said something to the effect of Harriet Tubman not freeing the slaves. She only led them to more white people to enslave them in different ways. And then he said he and Kim were going to abort North.
Yes, he cried at the rally. Yeah,
he had a fever dream from God, and then God inspired him to keep his baby.
Yeah.
But if he didn't want Planned Parenthood to be a thing, he said he would give every pregnant woman
$1 million
to see her pregnancy throughout. And I first want to get your thoughts on the Harriet Tubman, because I know we talked about this.
Now, I am not here for African Americans who have been privileged to be born in a time where you were not indentured slaves to speak on what those people have gone through. Like when he said, now don't get me wrong, I do love Kanye, but the things he says, somebody needs to check him.
Truly.
Because saying slavery is a choice, saying Harriet Tubman just freed them into other white, I mean, it's a white man's world. She got them out of working for free for a white man and moved them up to a place where they had just a little more freedom. And now you're going to get on your platform. The same man that said George Bush doesn't care about black people. It will now do a whole 180 and this the black woman that probably is the reason you're here to this day.
My thing is, he releases music on this label that is distributed through another label that's owned by a white man. So it's like, if that's how you feel, then I'm going to stop listening to your music.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to stop supporting the slave masters, and if that's how you really fucking feel. Because
he's been manipulated by the Kardashian family.
You think so?
I think, but see, like, let's pull it back to this. Kanye West is bipolar.
Right.
So he is going to say things, do things, especially during manic episodes, because I, myself, am also bipolar. So I know how it is. Mm-hmm. You're going through a manic episode. You feel like you're on top of the world. Nobody's going to pull you back. This is my life. You can't tell me I need help. Da, 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 da. I get that. But I will not deny the fact that some of the stuff that he is probably saying has some truth to it.
Okay. I can get behind that. I can support that.
He's not crazy.
No, yeah. There's...
He's just misunderstood in some points. But I also have, like, I'm always going to really have sympathy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I mean, I always have sympathy for black men. Because, I mean, I don't know. Whenever I see some of them, I think of my father. And I'm like, damn. Like, I don't know. I just have such a big heart.
No, I get you.
So it's like, and it really hurts because, like, you see that he's lost his mom. Just like with Megan, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I hurt for those who've lost their, like, true, parents and stuff. Never
imagine.
You lose your mom. Like, you're one person that's there for you, that's going to check you, that's going to, like, hey, I'm, like, I gain nothing from, like, wanting the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his mom. Then, you know, he was in all that debt or whatever, which, first of all, let's talk about how rich you got to be $3 million in debt.
No,
you know?
It was like $50-something million in debt.
See?
Yeah.
No African-American, this is how you knew he was rich, because no African-American man will be walking around $50 million in debt. walking around free with 50 miles. They will have your ass under the jail. Okay. But it's like with him losing his mother and then him being like bipolar, it just really, it's just a lot happening to him, you know? And he does have access to help because it sounds like he can get medicated and stuff. And I read somewhere that he does this thing where like he'll get off of his medicine before he like releases a project because he feels that it stunts like, you know, his creativity. But I'm just like, my thing is, my critical point about it is that you have four kids. You know what I'm saying? You have to want, even if you don't want to do better for yourself, you gotta want to at least give your kids some stability in their life.
I feel
you can't be float. It's okay to have feelings as a parent. You can be mad, you can be sad, you can cry, whatever. But you can't have manic episodes and then hit these depressed episodes and not have any control over like your polarity of your feelings. And you have
creativity.
Four kids. Because your four kids, not only are they gonna, because mental illness is hereditary, not only will they inherit that, but the experience you give them growing up, they're going to remember that. And they might resent you. And it will be hard when they get older to build a relationship because you were so flip-flop.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's interesting that you said that about his creativity, like, before he releases. Because I do think, like, a lot of it is inflammatory things just to bring hype and attention to his projects.
Yeah.
But the thing that really sucks is this will be available for his kids, like, to research and see when they get older. Just all the things.
Especially Nora, because she's going to hear about, like, oh, so y'all didn't want me.
Right.
You know, that's these are things that are going to have effects on your kids. You got to watch what you say to your kids. You can't say, like, I've never understood people who be like, oh, yeah, my mom called me a bitch or, you know. Yes.
Not healthy nor normal.
That's not healthy to say certain things to your kids.
So after that one, like, the next night he goes on a rant. And I was watching this one play out, like, in real time.
Oh, wow. With the Drake.
Emoji. The Drake, yes. This one was actually so much, though. He said NBC was responsible for the downfall of Bill Cosby.
You know what? And I'm gonna talk on that real quick. I don't know what it is about black men and their conspiracies about Bill Cosby, but this is not. This is the third time. I remember the first time. I'm not gonna say what black man told me this because they're very close to me. but he also said that, and I'm just like, so we're just gonna pretend like this man probably wasn't creeping people out.
I hope the audio picked up when you saying that. No, listen, this is the thing. The Bill Cosby thing, people always like, Bill Cosby was trying to buy NBC. That's what.
Yes, no, that thing. That is the,
no,
the conspiracy. No.
Bill Cosby was trying to buy NBC like in the 1900s. And he didn't have enough capital to do the shit. It was going to be with a group of people. They were not like, Bill Cosby, no. Like, and but they were not,
Bill Cosby, no.
They were not going to give him a whole network like by himself. It was a whole group of people. They just didn't have the capital, the funds. They were going to get, he was supposed to have another show coming out with him. I think he was supposed to have two shows with NBC. So he was still in business with these people. They were not trying to take him out like everyone is alluding to.
And the black man conspiracy.
I wish everyone would stop with this. But Kanye continued on. He called Kris Jenner.
Kris Jong-un.
He called Corey Gamble Kanye, which that shit actually sent me, like, watching this play out was really sad.
No, yeah.
But I was like, who the fuck is Kanye? Like, I thought he was referring to himself.
Yes.
So then I, like, looking through the comments, and then I see somebody, like, posting pictures of Corey, and I'm like, wow, that is something there.
That's actually, I'm sorry, this is not funny, but, like, the name calling, very he thought he hilarious.
I guess he thought he was being, like, covert and using codes, but.
See, that's what they call, no, he was really using lipstick alley codes, because I was like, Kanye.
The streets were picking up quickly, though.
The blogs.
He said the movie Get Out was about him.
Okay.
And then he said, like, he posted a picture of all the kids, and he was like, the West children will never do Playboy. And I was like,
yes, all of this coding him, it was just very cody. That's why I feel like what he said, some of the stuff he's saying, he, like, this man can't be just pulling stuff out of the air. He can be, yes. But, like, I don't know. Like, okay, the Bill Cosby thing, you know, I told you, that's that black man conspiracy. But calling Chris Jong-un and Kanye adds up. Saying her, they don't, the grooming of Northwest, yes, I've read about that, how, how they probably grooming that little girl. Yep, but I'm not gonna spread no rumors on the podcast because allegedly, allegedly.
Chris, girl, leave me alone. Like this little podcast, it don't really make no money like that, girl. Just Chris, don't cover us. Chris, let don't go. Know, please. Now listen, girl, I ain't even bring that on. You gotta come to Lisa if you want litigation.
Come see me. You know where to find me.
If you want litigation, you gotta find Lisa, girl. And so I didn't think that Kim was even going to respond because, you know, this family is all about their brand. And
I knew Kim was going to respond with exactly what she wrote.
I didn't. So for those of you who don't know, Kim said this. She said, as many of you know, Kanye has bipolar disorder. Anyone who has this or has a loved one in their life who does knows how incredibly complicated and painful it is to understand.
Yes.
I've never spoken publicly about how this has affected us at home because I'm very protective of our children and Kanye's right to privacy when it comes to his health. But today I feel like I should comment on it because of the stigma and misconceptions about mental health. I understand Kanye is subject to criticism because he is a public figure and his actions at times can cause strong opinions and emotions. He is a brilliant but complicated person who, on top of the pressures of being an artist and a black man, who experienced the painful loss of his mother and has to deal with the pressure and isolation that is heightened by his bipolar disorder. Those who are close with Kanye know his heart and understand his words sometimes do not align with his intentions. Those that understand mental illness or even compulsive behavior know that the family is powerless unless the member is a minor, she wrote. People who are unaware or far removed from this experience can be judgmental and not understand that the individual themselves have to engage in the process of getting help no matter how hard family and friends try. And that's the thing. Kanye has access that
the
average person does not have to these resources.
He has a whole ranch where he can escape with his mind. And I do feel bad for Kim. I do. Because she, you know, like she said, it is hard to deal with somebody like that. You know, because, I mean, yeah, it's just hard. So I feel for her because Kim really be jumping through hoops for Kanye. During Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kanye did not want them filming that house, so they did not film in that house. She didn't want them kids. He didn't want them kids on there. She didn't film the kids.
And that was so crazy at the time because, you know, Kim was like, no,
Kim for just was putting literally everything keeping out up with the Kardashians. So it's just very, you know, it's crazy.
All right, so initially this next segment that we're about to get into, I really wasn't even going to discuss. Because I was like, it's not like fodder for entertainment. Like, this is someone's...
like, life.
Right, but there's just been so much that's gone on with this situation since.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Megan Thee Stallion being shot.
By Tory Lanez.
Allegedly, girl. You gotta throw allegedly behind if you're just gonna be throwing flames out there like
Tory Lanez shot Megan Thee Stallion.
Allegedly.
Nah, I'm fucking
up. So the first thing that like really kinda offsets me with this case is how messy her team has been.
Yes.
Because it was like the day after, like when the news like really came out that she got shot and it wasn't glass in her foot. Jonathan and her makeup artist were fighting.
Kelsey's and her family
were trying to expose Megan and Ben. And I'm just like, what happened to the days of NDAs?
See, that's the thing when you put when you surround yourself with a bunch of like fun yes people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? People who are there for the ride, people who are there for the fun. You know what I'm saying? Because when shit hits the fan, they'll be quick to throw you under the bus. They'll be quick to start saying this, that, and the other, revealing things. You gotta come when you come into money, you gotta surround yourself with people who were there when you had nothing.
Yeah.
But not all the time, because some people start acting funny too. But you gotta have discernment to know who's really there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. I know it's hard for her because she lost both her parents and her grandma.
Mm-hmm.
These are all guiding people in your life. You lose those people, you don't really have nobody that really got your back like that. Because even your aunts, your uncles, and cousins will turn on you.
I think she still has a grandma alive.
Oh. Well, I heard her grandma died. No, her grandma died, like, after her mother.
She has a grandma that's alive, though.
Oh.
One of her grandmas died.
Well,
you
I don't know.
You got two grandmas.
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that
but,
one.
Yeah, no, but yeah, no, I just think you cannot work with, like, if I made it, like, my friends, y'all would just be there. Like,
yeah.
Y'all would either be working or y'all would just be around. Like,
yeah.
There cannot be both because you cannot party with people who are on your payroll.
Period.
Because mixing all of that, it just, something goes awry. And then when you really need your team to be a team, them niggas don't have to put up a united front because you're the singer.
A lot of people, everybody shouldn't have released a statement. You should have just waited till everything clear. Because for everybody to say something like, oh, well, this all this, that, and the other, it's just like, it's no uniformity. And that's how things get. No, that's how people start making up their own conspiracies, start coming to their own conclusions. And it doesn't allow for the person to actually experience it to heal and be like, you know, able to process their trauma.
And we're getting all these like different sides from like the same side, but they're on different sides. Tory can't speak because if he says anything, he's gonna, you know,
incriminate himself.
Right,
because
there's an investigation. I know Meg didn't want to speak because she's in the process of healing. She had to have surgery, have these gunshots removed from her leg. And the last thing you want to do is have to put out a statement and explain to, like, your situation to people and tell them, like, that I need compassion, I need understanding, I need
some
space.
It's very,
right,
that's
now
what I'm saying. It's, people lack compassion nowadays.
Yeah, and I cannot believe people were, like, making jokes about it, especially like the likes of 50 Cent, and you know he just finished producing the Pop Smoke album, and Pop Smoke just got killed earlier this year. We just lost Juice WRLD. Megan Thee Stallion could have died, and people out here being funny and making jokes about it.
It's just crazy how people, it's because they're hating 50 Cent. They wanted to see her downfall. She has such a great, you know, when she was coming up, it was just, it felt like, you know, it just skyrocketed. It happened so quickly. The people loved her. I mean, heck, she trademarked Hot Girl Summer, Hot Girl. You know what I'm saying?
Collaboration with Beyonce.
Like,
Nicki Minaj. She hasn't even put an album out yet.
She skyrocketed up. And then, you know, one thing happened, and people be praying for your downfall. People really wanted to see her, like, fall apart, you know. So seeing her get shot, they're probably like, ah, see, shit
now
ain't sweet, huh? Yeah. And that's not fair. Like, why can't we be happy? Like why do we have to wait for her downfall? You know what I'm saying? Why can't we just be like, girl, you went through this, but you gonna keep going up. This only gonna add on to your little badges of, you know, honor. You know what I'm saying? You got shot. Now you're a real hood girl. That's what I'm talking about, girl. Stop. Yeah, you're right.
I hope she really understands, like, the lesson. Everybody's not for you. You don't need to have everybody in your space and in your circle like that. I love that she's so free-spirited and she really does fuck with everybody and she's not a hater, but that does
people
not mean
are
people
showing
have
their
to,
colors.
Right, you know, people don't have to be in your space.
You don't got to share energy with everybody.
Very interesting to hear Drea say,
she
compared them to Whitney and Bobby, saying they were having a Whitney Bobby moment.
But
and she wishes someone loved her enough to shoot her in the foot.
I want to touch on that. Whitney and Bobby did not have an abusive relationship. Whitney and Bobby did Bobby and Whitney ever put their hands on each other?
Not to my knowledge.
So, one, what the hell is she talking about? Two, how is somebody doing an act of violence to you showing you compassion and love?
Like, that's what you want for yourself? Like, unprovoked, you're saying this is what you want for,
like,
yourself?
Like, this is the type of, like, love you want. That's very immature at her big age for her to even make that joke.
To even let the thought run through her head. And then to be on the platform, that's why I didn't understand why she was on that platform, on that podcast. If you don't have anything to say about what's going on, you shouldn't have even accepted the invitation, because it was just very clear from the start that, you know, she was just in there trying to impress the men and
try to make jokes.
Right, and give
funny
little sound bites. It's like, Meg is supposed to be somebody you're riding with, somebody y'all vacation together, y'all supposed to be. And just, it should have never left your mouth, because it's disrespectful. And so she came back with, I truly don't glorify domestic violence. I was trying to say, just love me deeply. But while trying to be funny, I offended many, including Meg, and I'm sorry.
But loving someone deeply does not have to constitute into freaking putting your hands, putting a gun. None of that equals love. It does not equal love. You can, there are people that love hard, and I mean, it's just every day waking up, telling that person you love them, making them breakfast, you know, acts of service, you know, gift giving. There's so many other ways to show that you are deeply in love with somebody.
If we get to the point where you shooting me is how you show me love, hopefully I've removed myself from that relationship like a long time ago. Fine. Because there are just, like you said, so many ways to show love, so many ways for me to feel your love, for, you know, your love to be seen, all of that. And so then Megan clapped back later that day and she said, "Dumb bitch, that shit ain't fucking funny. Who the fuck jokes about getting shot by a nigga?"
Meg said it. That's how I feel. As a woman, she should have like been more compassionate, because we already got men making jokes. Mm-hmm. We already got these men. What really breaks my heart is black men mm-hmm. are doing this, making jokes about what happened to her. And then you have Drea, and she's being a real pick me. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I'm going to call that. She's being a pick me, making jokes with the men, like, oh, I'm trying to be loved. Like, that's not cute.
Right.
It's not cute. It's not funny. It wasn't even. You got to read the room. I didn't know what she thought she was going to gain from that. You know what I'm saying? Usually people make jokes, they think people are going to laugh.
But it wasn't funny. It wasn't entertaining. It wasn't cute.
It was very disrespectful.
But, you know, that.
So Megan had every right to call her Dre out.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that Megan heals and she's taking some time off. And
you saw Dre actually released a longer.
Yeah, I saw that one. But I saw someone had added Fenty. I guess she's a brand ambassador for mm-hmm. Fenty. And they were like, "Do you guys know, like, you have somebody that you're endorsing who supports, yada, yada, yada." And they were like, "Oh, we've been made aware." So I'm sure some calls were made last night and Drea's checks have been stopped. Her backs have been paused. And that's
especially
why she
seeing
wanted
as
to put out this second
Rihanna series. And Chris Brown. That whole situation. You gonna make jokes like that and you're a brand ambassador for Rihanna, but you wanna make jokes about people, men using violence against women? It doesn't matter, and it doesn't even matter if Megan was in that car slapping him around. He should not, in any which way, pulled out any type of weaponry on her.
So
I'm gonna just leave it at that.
You know, I heard some theories about the what happened, but
we're gonna let her tell her side
in her own time.
Yes, many artists like to release it in music.
Right, so we're just. I did see her. Like, her anger in those tweets. And I'm excited to see how it's going to play out. Like, I don't think she's going to be on some hot girl, like, cute shit. Like,
no,
I think
she's really
going
to be saying what needs
right,
to be said.
Right, and I can't wait for it.
Like, I've always been a Meg fan. I've loved Megan since, you know, when she was doing them ciphers.
Right.
On Twitter. It was crazy watching her blow up. Because I literally remember when one of my friends sent me her video of her doing that cypher on, like, that rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, this girl is dope! And then just to see all this is just... So I don't want this to, like, hurt her in any
yeah.
way. It kind of feels like watching your child grow up.
Right.
It's just so beautiful.
But while I was thinking about this, I wanted to kind of spin off into something that's kind of connected, but not really. And just like I said, that double standard in hip-hop between men and women. Pop Smoke died. Juice WRLD died. It was... You know, just such sadness, you know, such heaviness, of course, like it should be. Megan gets shot and then it's all jokes, it's all laughs. Literally, like, watching that video where she gets out of the car, you can see her pass out. And that shit was, like, so heartbreaking to see her, like, body just literally go limp. And she's literally still being yelled at by the police to direct to her X, Y, and Z. But something that I wanted to touch on real quick was the... Tekashi and Nicki collaboration and how it garnered all that backlash and people were on Nicki's ass for it. But this is not the first time they collaborated. It's not the second time. It's the third. And Fifi, when it came out in 2018, was on everybody's playlist. If I play Fifi in a room of random people, everyone's going to rap that shit word for fucking word. Like, everyone knows Fifi and you can't even sit here and act like you mm-hmm. don't know some part of that song. It's
exactly.
almost diamond in the United States. It's almost sold 10 million copies here. So you know that fucking song. And so I don't understand why this time it was such an issue and such a problem, especially when you have Kanye, Lil Baby, and Gunna, Tory Lanez, they all worked on his first album, and nobody said shit. So now,
But you know the answer to that. It's because people hate Nicki. Like Megan. people want to see these black women fall. They hate to see them do well. People hate to see Nikki do well. Nikki been running the game since we were kids. Nikki literally raised us. This is a Barb radio real quick. Nikki raised us. So it's just, you know why people hate on Nikki. Hate her because they want to throw this blame and be like, oh, well, he was snitching. Nikki said it herself. She don't be in the street shit. She don't.
My thing is, they're saying all this, and then the video still breaks all these records. Still is like the highest viewed hip-hop video in the history of music. And so it's like, all this capping on Twitter, this Twitter activism, and once again, the actions are not matching up to the words is the issue here.
Yeah.
But I also think Nikki's like trying to play up on the bad guy trope that she's like, you know, established after Chun-Li dropped and everything. Mm-hmm. And I wish she would stop. But that is really all that I had wanted to get into today. I'll just hit on a few things to be back. You know, I'm going to try to be back sooner than the amount of time it took me to come back after the last one. But I really want to thank Lisa Wilson for joining us here today.
Yes, I love to talk.
If you guys had saw my story the other day, Lisa designed me some really cool shirts and sweatshirts.
Yes.
The streets are saying Lisa might be selling some of those.
I actually have
styles
some
and prints.
Oh yes, go ahead.
What is your Instagram for the people so they?
Okay. Let me go.
This is gonna pull up because her username is
it's
just
a lot of letters. It is actually Lisa LISA _AAA, not like spelled out like literally three A's. Marie. That's it.
So, yes, the shirts were very cute. They're very trendy.
Yes, I'm doing $10 shirts, sweatshirts, and hoodies until the end of July. I was doing it till August, but with Zach's clout, many orders came in.
Literally, stop it.
So, I'm going to actually have to put a pause on the orders right now. I have so many guys.
Well, like I said, that is all we have today. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us again. I hope that everyone is staying safe. Everyone is finding ways to entertain themselves in quarantine, if you're still in quarantine. And for the love of God, just wear a damn mask.
Yes, please wear a mask. And please don't go out in public complaining about your mask to retail workers who have to work with a mask.
We don't care.
Because truly we don't. We truly don't.
And we did not force you to leave your house.
Online
shopping. Be respectful to people who are risking their lives for the things that you probably could live without. Yes. So, everyone have a great day and be blessed.
Yes.
I'm Zachary Perkins, and this has been Perspective with Zachary Perkins. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.